Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store and online. And now, the more you buy, the more you save on beds, bases, and more. Limited time. For J.D. Power 2025 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Check it out at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com today.
Over the weekend and over the last week, OpenAI has announced Sora, which is an absolutely insane new text-to-video AI generator. There are so many opportunities to make money from this thing, but also it is an absolutely phenomenal piece of technology. For those following, right, I feel like we've had a handful of big revolutions. Obviously, ChatGPT was a huge revolution. Even DALL-E, which came a little bit before ChatGPT, was incredible with its image generation. Now that we have video from OpenAI, I feel like we're on a brand new cusp. This is crazy. Jamie, what was your impression? How did you hear about this?
I mean, this is like one of the first AI tools, I think, or AI announcements that really blew up like the entire internet, not just the AI, you know, tech people. Yeah. I think it's so crazy, so, you know, amazing. If you haven't checked it out yet, go search OpenAI Sora. Check out some of these sample images. It's one of the first generative video that does 1920 by 1080p. So high definition, which is a huge feat in of itself, because before I think they're up to just, you know, 512 pixels. It can also do vertical, and it's so realistic and smooth looking. It's really unbelievable. It's mind blowing, honestly. So
yeah, it's so mind blowing, and I'm so excited because I feel like this finally gets us to a place that I've been predicting for a long time. We're going to be able to be our own movie director and direct our own movie with all of this stuff in there. There's more news and more things that we'll be covering shortly that also I think is going to help in this direction. It's all exciting stuff. Okay, Jamie, you are a videographer, photographer. Your wife and you have been doing this for a long time, doing weddings and different stuff like this. How big of an impact do you think this is going to have on like the film, the videography, like this industry? I have a bunch of friends that have been commenting on my LinkedIn posts because I've been posting a ton about this. And they're videographers, and they're like, this is disgusting. Like I'm sure there's a lot of different sentiments, but what are you feeling with this?
Well, I mean, I definitely think a lot of people will be out of work potentially, you know, in the future, because a lot of the production cost is going to go almost to zero. I mean, really, if you can, you know, I don't know if they're going to charge extra for Sora or if it's going to be included in the, you know, pro plan or whatever, but it's definitely going to be a lot cheaper than producing videos. And the imagery is Hollywood. I mean, if you look back at these clips, it's like Hollywood imagery. So basically you're taking out your, you know, your film crew, your actors, your producers. You know, the one thing I am curious about, because I did notice this when I was thinking about all this, watching the clips, I think AI is going to struggle to emulate human emotion and facial expressions. I think most of the clips now that I've seen, the actors are kind of either like somber or, you know, kind of stone faced. I feel like emulating the human emotion and face is going to be kind of the last frontier. But I mean, already this is just a huge step, and I think it's going to shake things up for sure.
100%. I agree with you. I think there's a lot of industries people aren't even thinking about because they're like, oh, like, you know, videographers aren't going to lose their job. They're just going to be the ones like directing the prompts and prompting to get what they want. And they already know their style that they like, et cetera. Like, yes. And I do think there's some truth to that. But I also think there's a ton of jobs that go away. Set designers, costume designers, makeup artists. Like, if this thing really was a perfect tool, which like you mentioned, right? Like, it doesn't have maybe the human emotion quite yet on actors and actresses. Like, okay, this is V1. This is the worst it will ever be. Like, it's gonna get there, you know? And when it does, there's so much downstream, I think, impacted people. But I also think that this is like an exciting thing for me personally, because I think we're gonna see phenomenal, full-fledged movies come out of this, created by some guy or some girl in their basement that just like had an idea for like some new Pixar movie, and the thing's phenomenal, right? And it's like, all of a sudden, anyone can create and make whatever's in their mind. So I'm really excited about that aspect. I think being able to create your own movies, being able to create stock footage for your YouTube channel, like so many areas I think have opened up that are going to be really, really exciting. And of course, there's all the people concerned about deep fakes and the abuse that like these tools can have. Now, I think this is obviously the reason why OpenAI hasn't actually released this to the public yet. So we can just see the demos. I don't think they even know how to release this to the public. They're working on red teaming and all that kind of stuff to try to fix it. But yeah, it's absolutely phenomenal. What are you thinking about as far as like making money from a tool like this?
Yeah, well, so one of the most impressive things that they didn't really talk about in their initial release, but I looked through their tech breakdown of stuff. One of the powerful parts of this tool is actually the input output. So you can actually edit videos now too and totally change up what it looks like. So, there's a clip of a car racing down a desert road, and it said, okay, now make this a jungle scene. And it totally used the same, car, same motion, but now it's going through a jungle. So, I think with video editing, again, this is going to allow, the video editor maybe out of a job as well, honestly, and just bringing creative ideas to life. Particularly in the corporate world, when companies just want to make a good looking video to talk about their product, engage customers, this is really where the opportunity is, I think, for freelancers. I'll produce a 1-minute promo video for your company, and I can go use OpenAI to do all of it. Maybe a little bit of 11 Labs in there, which we can talk about in another podcast. But you do have to know the prompts, and we've talked about this before in our podcast, is that it's not like anyone's just going to be able to be like, make me an amazing movie and it'll do it. No, you have to know the prompts, how to get the correct styling and what to, so there is, a skill to be learned, but again, it'll really reduce the cost of producing video, I think, so.
100%. And I think you hit on something that's really important, which is that creative people are going to be the winners in this. And I know some people argue with me on that because they'll be like, no, you can just tell OpenAI like to do something creative in X, Y, and Z style and whatever. But like, I really think, like when I, for example, I use ChatGPT to help me write like my LinkedIn posts, for example, but I never take what it like outputs and just like post it because it seems too like robotic and kind of corporate. Like, you know how OpenAI just has its output. So like, I'll tell it like, hey, I want this kind of thing. It structures this nice post. I take it and I edit it to be like the words that I would use. And, then I post it. So I think it's going to be the same thing with video, where you could say like, hey, do X, Y, and Z for me. It does it. But it's like, this style isn't quite right. Like, oh, I think that it should start at this angle. The camera should have this type of motion. Like, you can be incredibly creative. And so this is my question for you, Jamie, and maybe other people are thinking this as well. Is this, and also even image generators, are they like, replacing artists, or are they just becoming the new paintbrushes and new paint for artists and the new, video capturing devices? It's just the way we get the idea and everything down. Or is it like intrinsically it's the creator and we're just kind of like directing it a bit?
I think that's a great question. I 100% agree with you. I think that the creativity of the human mind is what is the asset that will be able to use these tools and create something amazing out of them. So I definitely don't think the medium is changing, the tools are changing, but the creative brain is what's going to still be able to be successful and make money in this area. Another interesting thing they showed in the tech breakdown of Sora is the ability to combine two different clips. So they had like a clip of a gecko and then a clip of a peacock, and then it kind of like meshed into one, in the middle clip. So I think, again, back to the person trying to make money, and helping companies out, they can now basically insert their product into any scene, any clip, very cheaply, very inexpensively. So, if you can come up with some creative ideas for the company to show their product in different scenes, I think that creativity, again, is what's going to, win you the contract, win you the business. So,
okay, I love that idea you just gave there. This tool isn't even released yet. I'm already thinking of all the great ways to use it. But like, one thing you can do online, and actually maybe this is completely irrelevant, so this is another conversation, but you can buy like footage packs. So it's like a pack of, or even like some of them are on, open copyright free places where they just let you use it. But it's like a whole bunch of footage filmed in like the same studio, the same lighting, the same actors, just doing different things. And some people try to like put together movies and B-roll like with one footage pack. It makes everything seem more, cohesive. So imagine taking one of those, you do the whole thing, except now you're embedding your product into there. It looks literally like really high-end custom footage. Now, maybe this is all completely irrelevant because you can actually just create those footage packages, which is a whole nother business, but using like something like Sora. And because you can essentially use like video as input, you could have a video of like one particular model or one particular location and be like, hey, make me like derivative work, like make me, you know, this location, but in the nighttime, in the morning time, make me this kitchen with a white countertop, with a pink countertop. Like you could do all of these different like types of things, but it's all kind of the same. And so you could sell those footage packs. I think that it's a big business. A lot of people are like, Shutterstock. I think if you look at the stock price of Shutterstock, I'll pull it up in a minute. But it, after this announcement, went, it took a bit of a beating, and people are saying like, oh, Shutterstock's dead. I wonder, is it really dead, or the concept of stock footage, is it dead, or is it just going to be shifting, or maybe is Shutterstock going to go just selling prompts to regenerate a specific type of video? Because at the end of the day, like, I know it seems like, oh, anyone can create anything, but what I think we found with Midjourney is like very specific prompts can generate very specific images. And I personally have had the experience where I'm trying to generate a specific type of image, could not figure out the prompt for the life of me, ended up just paying someone, or in the past I've bought prompts to do it. So I wonder if it really is going to kill Shutterstock.
Yeah, I don't know. So this whole conversation really reminds me of, there's a video I saw once of the music producer Rick Rubin. Are you familiar with him, Gene? So Rick Rubin, he's produced like stuff for Red Hot Chili Peppers, you know, okay, Metallica, hip hop. He's like cross genre music producer, Johnny Cash, Linkin Park. So he's basically like a musical genius, Rick Rubin. And there's an interview with him, and he's basically on a podcast, and someone's like, well, you know, what are you paid for? Because he's like, yeah, I don't really write music anymore. I don't really go into the office. And she's like, so what are you paid for? And he said, well, I'm paid for my taste, you know? And so basically like his ability to recognize like when something looks good, and kind of exactly what we're talking about, the creativity piece there. I think with the stock footage, you know, like you said, you being able to develop your own like pack of footage that has a cohesive feel to it, and that is something that is going to inspire emotion in people, that is the skill that's going to be sellable. So
100%. Okay, well, first off, I just want to say I looked at the Shutterstock price. It's down 5.5% today, so not looking fantastic over there, but I think they'll be okay. Here's a great thing that you said, right? Like, he's paid for his taste. It's going to be the same thing. Like, imagine you want to get like a footage pack made, and so you're like, you're trying to get like some video made, and you're like, okay, like I need like a model of, you know, this height and this ethnicity in a living room reading a book, whatever, right? Like, let's just say this is part of your thing. Great. So it generates whatever it thinks, and you go on your happy way. Okay, well, what happens if you have like some, you know, fashion guru come in and they're like, and the model needs to be wearing like, have a Gucci purse and have like a high collar like blouse with a blah 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 blah. You know what I mean? Like, you could get someone that knows like the exact perfect, like what's on trend, what's, you know, be the most aesthetic colors on the background, because this is what's in like interior design, right? Like, it's totally different. It's the job of like the costume designer and a set designer today, but all of a sudden you have to take the expertise of those people, and maybe they don't go away. Maybe you still have a set designer and a costume designer, but you're just like, hey, like, give me like the prompts I'm going to use for my like costumes, and give me the prompts I'm going to use for my like sets. And you need that person to know those specific keywords. It just reminds me of like, you probably know all this because you're a photographer, but like for me, when I'm generating like images on Midjourney, it's like, if you tell it like what type of lens you're using, what brand of camera, how many f-stops, like there's like all this stuff that people got really hardcore into, and it like makes the images so much better than if I just say like, create an image of like a guy on a beach with a walrus, and then it just generates whatever it generates, you know? So maybe the role of all those people don't go away, but it gets, I don't know, it gets pretty cut back, or maybe they build an AI that's like, you know, it's like a set designer AI, when you give it like your scene and it can give you ideas. I don't know. I think there's a lot of possibility here, but it definitely, I think what is not an argument is that everything is going to change. The way everything's done is changing, and it won't be how it's traditionally been done.
Absolutely. Yep. Well, guys, if you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to leave us a review. And also, you can ask us questions if you leave us a review, and we'll answer them on the podcast. We really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.